I had a message all planned for this week, and I sent out a thing about it, and it's in the bulletin and everything. And up until last night, I was still going to share that message. And I woke up this morning. You know, and I obviously was going to say some things about what's going on, but I woke up this morning and really, you know, a couple hours just sitting on my couch early this morning, I felt like the Lord gave me a different message to share with you. So I want to just share some things because I figured, yeah, I'm really excited about this other message, and I hope I get a chance to share it with you soon, and I trust I will. But I know where everybody's mindset is and what's on your minds and on your heart. And I don't mean that in a, you know, you're fearful and panicking sort of thing, but it's just, it's hard. You can't not have this on your mind, right? I mean, it's impossible to escape it. So, and I asked Kelly this morning. I sent her a text early this morning, and I just said, you know, make sure that, and I said, I'm sure you're already way ahead of me on this, but, you know, use that time during, you know, Sunday school this morning just to reassure the kids, you know, because kids get vulnerable. You know, they hear stuff, they see what we're going through, you know, what parents are saying and stuff. And so you can rest assured that, you know, she's sharing some very appropriate things with your children this morning. You know, I want to do this, kind of tie in something Ken said when he was talking about the trail. I call it a wake. You know, when a boat goes through the water, it leaves a wake behind it. And our lives leave a wake. All of our lives leave a wake. Some a wake of blessing and some a wake of destruction, right? I mean, based on how we live our lives and such. But tying in with that, you know, and this whole virus thing and everything is, I heard a guy say years and years ago, and I know it's kind of a, you know, maybe a little of a, not sarcastic, but I'll just say it. He said, you know, sometimes we have more faith in germs than we do in Jesus. And I don't mean that from the standpoint of healing. You know, that's another issue. But we're so afraid to get close to somebody because they might catch what we have, you know. I mean, in the case of, not that, you know, trust that nobody has the virus or whatever, but, you know, if we think we have a sickness, you know, we take precautions, you know, like we're, you know, kind of taking that to another level, you know, oh, you know, I don't want you to catch that. And he said, you need to, we all need to catch a case of terminal Jesus, right? So the people that we come in contact with catch it too. You know what I'm saying? So just keep that thought in mind. You know, we want to share Jesus with people, and you know, while everybody is in this tizzy over the spread of this virus, you know, I pray that in our hearts and in just the way we live our lives, that people would catch what we have in the sense of Jesus. Amen? Amen? So I thought, here's what I wanted to share with you this morning. And I want to start with, I just wanted to read Psalm 91 to you. Actually, I think I'll try in front of people. I might get nervous and mess up. But I committed this psalm to memory probably over 30-some years ago. Because I read a book, and I'll tell you about the book in a second, but Psalm 91, and I made a reference to it in what I sent out in the email, verse 10, that says, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. But it goes like this. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord that he is our refuge and our fortress, our God, in him we will trust. Surely he shall deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover us with his feathers, and under his wings we will take refuge. Sure. Now I'm forgetting. Pardon me? His faithfulness will be your, you know, his truth will be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, or the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near us. Only with our eyes will we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we've made the Lord, who is our refuge, even the Most High, our dwelling place, no evil shall befall us, nor shall any plague come near our dwelling. That's verse 10. Now I stop. For he will give his angels charge over you, and keep you in all your ways. And in their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. We will tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lions and the serpent we will trample underfoot. Because he has set our love upon us, therefore he will deliver us. He will set us on high because we have known his name. We shall call upon him and he will answer us. He will be with us in trouble. He will deliver us and honor us with long life. He will satisfy us and show us his salvation. I never mess it up, but just because I'm thinking about it and I'm trying to think ahead and I, you know, all this. I mean, I quote that verse constantly all the time in the shower, anywhere. You know, I just committed that verse to memory. And it's such a blessing because it's the power of God's word. And I'll tell you where, and I've shared this with you before, where it came from in terms of me and my interest in committing that verse or that passage to memory. I read a book, again, this is probably 35 years ago, and it was called Terror at, I can't pronounce it, T-E-N-E-R-I-F-E, however you pronounce that. And that's a place in the Canary Islands. And some of you know this story. It's the site of, in 1977, the worst airline disaster in history. And it didn't even happen in the air. It happened on a runway in this island, Tenerife, or however you say that. That's not the way it's pronounced. But I don't remember who the carriers were, but there were two 747s, which most of you know are the biggest planes or were at the time. And each one had upwards of 300 or so people, maybe more, on them. And it was a foggy day, and air traffic control, somehow some mistakes were made, and one of the 747s was in the process of taking off, and another one turned, and taxiing, turned in front of the one that was taking off, and they collided. And the one that was taking off had just begun to lift the nose up, you know, how they do, and this other one turned in front of it, and they hit each other. And it was a horrific, horrific scene. Two 747s fully loaded down with jet fuel, with hundreds and hundreds of people on board. I think, and I didn't go back and look at the details, but I think upwards of, you know, 550 people died that day in that crash. And the book, Terror at Whatever, was written by a guy named Norman Williams. And Norman Williams was a passenger on the plane that was taxiing. And he survived, obviously, this disaster. But he was a Christian man, a Christian businessman. And he tells, and I got to tell the whole story, but the gist of it was he found himself in this crisis. I mean, talk about crisis in his life. And he had committed that Psalm 91, to memory in his life. And it was just part of his, just like it had become in mine, kind of part of his daily life of just confessing the word of God. And there's many, many, many countless scriptures that we can commit to memory and confess before the Lord. And you know, some of them have different meanings and such for us, depending on what we're going through in our lives. But for him, it was that Psalm that I just tried to quote, made a couple of blunders there. But and he said that he found himself in the middle of this crisis, you know, when the plane went over top, you know, and hit the top of the plane he was in, just ripped the top off, or, you know, parts of it, and explosions of fire and screaming. And you know, it's beyond the pale to think of what that was like. Out of his heart came those words that I just quoted for you. And the point of the whole story was, what's inside you is going to come out. And what's inside you is going to come out, especially when you're in a crisis, especially when you're in a difficult time. And what you have sown in your daily life is what comes out of you in a time of crisis. And he said, and he remembers all this. I mean, his escape out of that fiery inferno, a 747 is a huge plane. You know, some of you have been on them, and I don't know how many seats wide they are. They're maybe 12, I don't know, they're really wide. And he looked up, and there was an opening. You know, like the where he was, the whole roof hadn't been torn off, but there was a part of it that was, and there was fire and everything. And he said, I'm an overweight businessman, you know. And he said, as I'm just like crying out to God and quoting the scripture that just flows from my, he said, all of a sudden I found myself up on the roof of the plane. You know, he said, I didn't have the ability to reach up that high and didn't have the strength to get. He said, I found myself like crawling out of this hole. And that was, it was like so much higher than he was. And, but he said, and he slid down, you know, the side of the fuselage into the wing. I don't know, somehow he got away. And I mean, other people lived. Not everyone on both the planes died, but quite a few did. But what was I going to say? It was something else I was going to say about it. He was talking about people around him. And I can't imagine all the chaos and stuff, cursing God, you know, screaming. And I mean, which you know, you understand people being terrified and screaming and stuff. But he heard people cursing God. And the whole point was, what's inside of you in a time of crisis is what comes out of you. And so take that as a lesson. And, you know, reciting scripture or quoting or memorizing scripture, it's not some magical incantation, right? It's not just something we say words, you know, like the pagans do in the hopes of somehow appeasing our God or whatever. You know, it's not that kind of thing. It's not an incantation in that sense. It's just learning to fill our hearts and our minds with the Word of God. And if ever there was a time for that, you know, it would seem like this would be a good time, right? And I've already heard it quoted a couple of times this morning, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So let's stand on the Word of God. Of course, it doesn't mean we don't take precautions and all the, you know, fist bumping and, or elbow bumping, whatever, all that stuff that we do. Remember who you are. Amen? And remember who you belong to above anything else. These are times, listen to me, my friends, these are times that the church can shine, right? These are times when we can really be the body of Christ. This morning, I'm just looking through different scriptures, and I'm in this one in Acts chapter 4. I want to read verses 32 through 37. And it's a time when the church was going through a crisis. It was a crisis of persecution in this case. And it says in Acts 4, beginning in verse 32, it says, "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that anything of the things he possessed was his own. But they had all things in common, and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Now again, you know, whenever that verse is preached on or talked about, you know, people sometimes wrestle around, you know, is this a mandate, you know, for, you know, us to follow that exact pattern? And I think pretty much everybody would say, no, that's not, you know, the pattern that every person has to sell what they have or anything like that. But it's just a matter of responding to a crisis in an appropriate and a God-centered and God-led sort of way. And as I said, this was a situation of persecution, and believers were going through difficult times. And listen, we've talked about, I remember just, I don't know how many months ago, 2, 3, 4 months ago, I was talking about the fact that, you know, there's going to be a time in our lives when we're going to need faith more than just verb, you know, I believe the scripture, you know, didn't know if it was going to be through a war, through persecution, through financial collapse, through terrorism, whatever, you know, it's just, this, that sense has been right in probably most of our hearts. You just never think, you know, when it actually might happen or whatever, but there's going to come a time when, you know, we're going to have to put, you know, we talk about putting our money where our mouth is. Well, we need to put our faith where our mouth is. And we need to actually live this out. But these are times when the church really, really can be the church. Where else would you rather be, you know, in a situation like this than a member of the body of Christ? Amen? I hope you feel that way. We all need to take responsibility for ourselves and for our families and all that, but But don't be of this mindset of me, my wife, my children, us four, no more, right? We can't let ourselves be like that. Let's watch out for each other. And I hope, you know, I haven't really talked to the elders about it. Maybe meeting this week and just kind of talking through, praying through some things and, you know, what we can do just to make sure that needs are met of those within. You know, the Bible talks in Galatians about meeting the needs of those who are going through a time of lack or whatever. And it says, especially those of the household of faith. Yes, we hopefully can take care of ourselves and each other and have enough to even reach out to those outside of us. But let's really think about ways that we can try to be a blessing. I've got a scripture or two I'll share in a second about that. The spirit of the world, right, it's panic. It's a spirit of fear. It's a spirit of hoarding. It's all that sort of stuff that just happens. And, you know the whole, everybody's joking about the whole toilet paper thing. You know what it is? It's when something is out of our control, we try to do something that's in our control, right? We try to take control by doing certain things, right? That's kind of the way that psychologically people respond to a crisis. You know, this is out of my control. What can I control? Well, I can control. No, you can't. But, you know, I can control going to the store and buying some. And I don't know what the toilet paper. It's someday we're going to look back on this and wonder, you know, what was that all about? I mean, I get it. CJ, our son CJ, we were texting back and forth, and he said, yes, we ran out of toilet paper. So anyway, huh? Yeah, it's a bad time. But anyways, I said, I've got some. It'll cost. No, I'm just kidding. How much? Oh, you've probably seen all the memes on Facebook about it and everything. So. Anyways, I want to read a few verses from 2 Corinthians of chapter 8. And it's a long passage, so I'm not going to read them all, but I kind of laid them out here this morning as I was sitting there and just thinking through it. And I'm going to start in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 13, and read a few verses down to verse 16, and then jump into 2 Corinthians 9. So 2 Corinthians 8, 2 Corinthians 9, I just want to read a few verses. Beginning in verse 13. It says, for I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack. Think about those words. Your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to God who puts the same earnest care for you into the heart, who put the same earnest care for you into the heart of Titus. Now going on to chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. Now concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not of a grudging obligation. Now, once again, it was a crisis in the church, and Paul is exhorting the church. He said some people will have an abundance of one thing, but they'll lack another. Some will have an abundance of that, but they'll lack something else. And that's the way the body is meant to work. So in this case, they had, received a gift, you know, gifts and stuff to take to those who are suffering, who are going through this difficult time and so forth. And it was cool how the church worked that out. But just remember that you may have an abundance and somebody else may have a lack and vice versa. And that's a beautiful way that the body of Christ can work. This other verse in passage in Acts chapter 11, it's kind of a similar along the same lines. It was this man Agabus, remember, he was a prophet, and it says in Acts 11, verse 28, it says, then one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. You know, I was just thinking, this just popped into my mind. You know, the Bible says, given it will be given unto you. the world says hoard, and you can protect, you know, yourself and your little world. And so, you know, they received an offering. They did what they could do to minister to those who were going to be suffering from this famine, and they responded to that crisis. No one really knows, right, where all this is going. It's like a cascading effect. And I'm like, what really changed between Friday and today? You know, it's like, I mean, it's been there, you know, for a while. We've all been hearing about it. But it's just like, you know, things just started to, you know, like dominoes, you know, and only time will tell. We were talking about next door at prayer. And I said, only time will tell. Look back historically, you know, was this overreaction? And Kurt said, you never know, because you don't know. You can't play out both things in parallel, you know, whether this was overreaction or whether this was prudent. But it is what it is. And such. But the fear of the unknown, the fear of the unknown, fear of the future, all those things, you know, tend to cause anxiety. And that's why I said that's why people act the way they do, or we do, you know, where we like, hey, you know, I'm short of this or that. What does the Bible say in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7? It says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Just a couple other thoughts. This was real short, because like I say, I just did this like 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock this morning, whatever. Just a word of exhortation. You can take it and do what you want with it. Don't overconsume news, right? Keep up to date, right? You can get all the news you need to get without sitting there for 6 or 7 or 8 hours, right? My goodness. You know, it's just become, you wonder where that spirit of fear comes. You know, it comes through that. And, you know, we are in a new era. I mean, we have been for a while, obviously, but the 24/7 news. I mean, think about the Weather Channel, right? I mean, how much can you have 24/7 weather? So they make a crisis out of everything. I'm not downplaying this at all. I'm just saying that's just become the norm. That's the way that this all goes. So just don't overconsume. You can keep yourself up to date. You can find out what you need to find out. What a great time to spend some additional time with the Lord and in His Word, right? When you're not, some of you, I don't know how many are affected. I know Lori's job is off here for the time being. The preschool's closed, and obviously other teachers and those involved in schools. I don't know who else is. Jobs are affected, or things canceled, or what have you. But what's inside of us is going to come out of us, like I said earlier. Pressure reveals the inner person. Stress will reveal the places where you're weak. You know, that when stress is put on something, wherever it's weak, that's what's going to show. Like I said, you know, mentioned already about the children, you know, they can be particularly vulnerable, you know, and they're kind of reading. I remember when 9/11 happened, and like, you know, like I just said, but didn't do back then. I mean, you know, most all of us probably were glued to the television throughout that day and beyond. And I don't know if it was the night of that, of 9/11, or if it was the next day or whatever. And we were homeschooling at the time, and Lori was homeschooling the kids. And so the kids were home, and at one point, CJ's just laying on the couch, you know, because television, you know, homeschooling didn't happen, right? You know, all of a sudden it's like, you know, what's going on? And you're watching television, and at some point after however many hours, CJ said, can we change the channel? You know, he's like 13 years old, you know, and he's like, can we watch something else? Because it was just starting to weigh on, you know, and so think about that for those that have small kids, grandkids, or whatever. I hope we can, you know, talk to the elders and like to get together and discuss plans about things maybe we could do just to make sure the needs are met. You know, somebody mentioned, maybe that was next door prayer, you know, thinking of Herman and Marley and others, you know, that might, you know, have special needs. I mean, at the same time, you know, you don't want to go just showing up at everybody's door, you know, out of concern, right? You know, so, you know, there's all kinds of things of walking this out carefully. I started a text conversation with the pastors this week on Friday. And I said, hey, just want to start a conversation. You know, what are you guys thinking and how are you handling it in your church and so forth? And again, this is Friday, and it feels like Friday was an eternity ago, you know. So we made arrangements. Tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, we're meeting the pastors, whoever can. We're going to meet over at Russ's over at Alabama. And just spend some time in prayer and talk about, you know, what we're doing going forward and how we can walk through this together. One final thought, and I kept this particularly, it is 11:30. I wanted to take a few minutes, and we can still do that before we go and just pray together corporately as a congregation. It's funny how new things become a part of our vocabulary very quickly, you know, right? Social distancing, who would ever use that term before this week or in the last couple of weeks, right? Some people are like, yes, social distancing. You know, now I've got an excuse to stay away from people, right? And I hope you don't feel that way. It's become a part of our vocabulary now. I get it. I understand it. You know, we all understand the practical side of that. There's a difference between social distancing and isolation. And that's something we have to be very, very careful of, because the enemy wants to isolate. So this, I mean, he's just salivating, the devil. Oh, this is a great opportunity, you know, to isolate people from one another, especially in the body of Christ, you know, to just gin up that spirit of fear and all that stuff. And we just have to resist that, realize, you know, where we stand and who we are, like I said, who we are and who we belong to, and we belong to Jesus. So somehow we have to find that balance, you know, where we do, you know, may have to do other things as we move forward, you know, in terms of, you know, how we communicate and fellowship and get together, whatever. And, you know, but this is going to run its course, you know, and somehow or another, whether it's through miracle of God or a vaccine, or, you know, I know the testing thing's a big issue now that they're talking about and all, but this will run its course. And talk about a rocket stock market. You know, if somebody says, hey, I've got a vaccine for this, you know, all of a sudden, you know, the whole, everything's going to, but hopefully we'll learn, you know, through this. I remember Y2K. Right? And it was 20 years ago. Maybe there's something about the 20 years cycle. But, you know, I said, well, you know, it turned out to be a nothing burger. But, you know, you learn some things and probably didn't learn the lessons you need to learn about, you know, having supplies, whatever. You know, some people have, some people haven't. But anyways, you know, we learn from these things and we grow from them, and hopefully we respond in a godly way. So I'm going to ask you to stand. Just wanted to share those thoughts with you, save the message for another time. And I hope that means something to you. It was just stuff that was in my heart. And let's just take a few moments and pray. I know Tim's already prayed some along these lines. But, you know, if God just puts something on your heart, let's just maybe take 5 minutes or so and just have a time of corporate prayer. And, you know, as the Lord leads you and puts something on your heart, let's just agree together. Father, I just start by saying I thank you, God, that you are that friend that sticks closer than a brother, and that you never leave us nor forsake us. And we thank you so much for that, oh God. We thank you that your word says to be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything, but through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep our hearts and minds stayed and fixed on you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just feel free to lead out in prayer.